He kōna e ipurangi tēnei nā te reo irirangi o Aotearoa.
I'm super jealous of people who are starting like university this year, actually, because the technology is always emerging, it's always getting more mature, and it's very different to three or four years ago.
Hi and welcome to Voices with me, Kadambri Rekukumar. Over the past few years, New Zealand has been steadily pushing innovation in the areas of virtual reality, gaming, and human interface technologies. We've seen some big international players eye and buy New Zealand gaming firms like Wellington-based NZXR, recently bought by Niantic, the people behind the wildly successful Pokemon Go app. Blurring the lines between reality and computer-generated worlds, the augmented reality and virtual reality gaming worlds are quietly buzzing here in New Zealand.
People sort of not expecting this sort of technology to come out of New Zealand and certainly the South Island. So it's actually, I guess, one of New Zealand's best kept secrets. A lot of the actual early AR work was done at the University of Canterbury.
The Human Interface Technology Lab, or the HIT Lab, is a University of Canterbury research institute and an offspring of its US-based parent. The HIT Lab has had such a successful track record here that over the last 10 years alone, it's attracted about $14 million in research funding. The institute celebrates 20 years this year. So to join me on this episode of Voices, I invited David Huang, who you just heard at the beginning. He graduated from the lab in April this year. And Dr. Adrian Clark, who you just heard. He's a senior lecturer in applied immersive gaming design.
The HIT Lab was originally set up by Mark Billinghurst, who's known as one of the original, not inventors, but one of the people who really brought AR to the masses through his research. And Mark actually originally studied over at the HIT Lab US under Tom Finesse, who is known as the godfather of virtual reality. So there's sort of this long lineage and history of augmented reality and virtual reality at the HIT Lab and at the University of Canterbury, which is going back 20 years now. And that's actually where I did my PhD.
David Huang is one of Adrian's students, and he recently developed what he claims is one of the world's first smartphone AR apps.
During our market research, we haven't found any competitors in that doing the exact same thing we're doing, providing that experience on the smartphone, so which is why we've made the claim.
The app is called Oasis AR, and it's been downloaded worldwide over 20,000 times and continues to grow steadily in its user numbers. So what exactly is it?
What we've made is using augmented reality, but specifically for mobile. So augmented reality is still a very emerging space at the moment, and we believe that we wanted to make AR more accessible, so we chose the smartphone platform. And we kind of initially came up with the idea sort of during the pandemic, and where we saw most people were using communication platforms such as Zoom for socializing, and we just realized that there could possibly be a new medium for communication that is more immersive than just video calling. So we used AR and made it more accessible. And essentially what it is everybody with a smartphone can download our app and make a virtual avatar, such like lookalike of themselves. And then they get into calls with their friends and family. And inside these calls, they'll be able to see their friends' like avatars projected in life-size form right in front of them in their very own environment. So give them more of a closer replication of face-to-face social interactions.
But one of the things that tends to come to a lot of people's minds about gaming and this world in general is addiction and the mental health impacts of excessive gaming. I mean, if you go online, you'll quite quickly find help groups that tackle video game addiction in teens, and particularly in our Asian communities, you'll find specific community-led initiatives to help in this area. David was born in China and moved to New Zealand at a young age with his family. Although he's never directly faced any of the game-related stereotypes growing up, he's very well aware that it's an important point to address and clarify the difference applied gaming can make.
I think the stereotype around gaming can partly be induced by lack of familiarity with the actual gaming industry. I think, especially nowadays, mobile market has made gaming much more accessible to the general population. So a lot of people play mobile games and just video games in general these days. So I think the culture is much more understanding and less about sort of nerd culture, if you could put it in those terms. And but I do believe that as much as games sometimes can be seen as just highly addictive and negative, it can definitely also bring a lot of positive benefits as well. There's a lot of games where it's helping people's mental well-being, a lot of games which help foster social connection, as well as promote physical activity, etc. So I do believe as the gaming industry further grows, there'll be many, many more positive stereotypes surrounding gaming rather than negative ones.
If you look at it from a sort of industry standpoint, there's more and more conferences which are exploring the good aspects of gaming and how they can be used as a force of social good rather than just something where people run around and shoot other people.
While David grew up on a steady diet of gaming, he also knew pretty early that he could make a career out of it.
I think a lot of kids growing up has had their parents sort of try to sway them off their playing on the Xbox and on the computers. It's a very interesting scenario because not everyone who plays video games end up making video games, though, obviously.
How early on did you realize that this was the sort of industry you could see yourself, you know, within?
The interest really began sort of just before I finished high school, I believe. I think the movie Ready Player One did play a huge part in that. I was looking into augmented reality and virtual reality, and I was actually looking on the Wikipedia page for augmented reality, and I was just looking down, and I think in the bottom it was talking about like noteworthy people in the augmented reality space, and I think Mark Billinghurst, who Adrian mentioned earlier, was actually on the Wikipedia page, and I was looking through, and I was like, oh my god, you see Christchurch, like where I live? And I was very surprised as well. I was like, we have a world-leading researcher like in the same city where I live. I was like, that's incredible. So that was a huge motivation for me to apply to the Applied Immersive Game Design school here at UC. Beyond just gaming, because gaming, a big part of gaming is programming and software development in general. So, and I believe that there's increasingly in a lot of more classes, especially in Asian countries as well, where schools have been adopting programming classes as early as elementary school. I think New Zealand is potentially starting to do that as well. So I do believe that the world, especially in Asian countries, that they are embracing the students and the next generation to be more suited and more adaptive to the modern technological world.
I suppose necessity being the mother of inventions and all that, the pandemic had a big part to play in the impetus for this, particularly developing the app for younger users.
We were very interested in sort of going into the augmented reality space even before the pandemic, but it was sort of after once the pandemic started that we really thought that because people were in isolation, they couldn't see each other face to face, that we thought this app would be a really good alternative to apps such as Zoom or like Facebook Messenger, etc. We thought that this will be a new medium communication as like technology has evolved. From in the beginning, it was like text and like internet chat boards to like voice calling, and then technology has enabled video calling. And we do believe in the future that avatar socialization, so using augmented reality and virtual reality, will be the next stage of communication, which is how we came up with this idea.
So AR versus VR, what is the difference?
The main difference between augmented reality and virtual reality is virtual reality puts you in an entirely digital environment. So you wear a head-mounted display or something that covers your eyes and you look through a screen and you're basically transported into a world which has been completely created within a computer. Augmented reality, on the other hand, there's a range of different ways you can experience it. So obviously with Oasis AR and the work that David's been doing, you can experience it through your cell phone, but you can also get head-mounted displays as well. But the main difference between augmented reality and virtual reality, where virtual reality completely transports you into a digital world, augmented reality actually brings the digital world into the real world. So you'll be looking through your cell phone and you will see the video through your cell phone, so it's basically acting like a window that you can see through, but then we have digital content overlaid in it.
It begs the inevitable question, where does that leave real-life interactions once more of these sort of apps come into play?
I think it encourages social communication. So we definitely believe that social apps never should replace face-to-face social interactions. In fact, if anything, it should encourage social interaction. This is definitely a very emerging market, I think. Facebook's rebranding into Meta last year definitely also helped the space as well. Metaverse is definitely a key word, and virtual reality and augmented reality is projected to definitely be a very big market and within the next 5-10 years. So,
what's the interest in this from overseas?
There is a lot of interest, both actually domestically as well within New Zealand. There actually has been a lot of quite a few augmented reality startups has come out of New Zealand. Adrian's startup Quiver is definitely one of them, and probably the most successful example. There's also been a company called 8i, I believe, and also Weta Studios has produced the first trailer for Magic Leap, which was a billion-dollar startup.
So as the Hit Lab turns 20 this month, there's clearly a lot more to expect from this booming space that's been a springboard for startup entrepreneurs like David Huang and Adrian Clark.
I'm super jealous of people who are starting like university this year, actually, because the technology is always emerging, it's always getting more mature, and it's very different to 3 or 4 years ago. And I'm sure in 5 years' time it'll be much bigger. So I think we're in the very early stages of going to be a very big market.
People don't really know how big the scene is in New Zealand because it's still quite close. Most people know everyone else, but as we often do in New Zealand, I think we're kind of batting above our weight when it comes to these tech startup companies and AR startup companies.
That's Voices with me, Kadambri Raghukumar. Thanks for listening. Each week I produce an episode on people from all around the world who live in New Zealand now. You can find more Voices episodes on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts from. You can also find us on the RNZ website. That's www.rnz.co.nz. And you can also follow us on Instagram and Facebook as rnz_voices. Today's episode was mixed by Jeremy Ansell, and I'm Kadambri Raghukumar.